They tell me that it is impolite and rude to ask personal questions. You don't ask a man how much money he makes. You don't go up to a woman you've never seen before and ask her how much she paid for that hat on her head. It's rude and impolite to ask personal questions. I want to be rude and impolite for a moment and ask you a personal question. The question is simply this: is the Holy Spirit filling you right now? Is the Holy Spirit filling you right now? Now, the question is not, do you have the Holy Spirit indwelling you? Nor even is the question, has the Holy Spirit ever filled you? But the question is, right now, at this moment, is the Holy Spirit filling you? Now, there are three possible answers to that question. One, yes, He is. Two, no, He isn't. Three, I don't know what you mean by being filled with the Holy Spirit. I don't know if He is or not. And the purpose of the study this morning is to so present what the Bible means by being filled with the Holy Spirit, so that when the study is over, you will be able to accurately answer that question, yes or no. Is the Holy Spirit filling you right now? We've already seen that at the moment of conversion, the Holy Spirit comes to indwell the believer. Now, you receive the Holy Spirit at salvation. But as we saw yesterday, Christian growth is a process of discovering what we receive at salvation and learning to appropriate all that God has given us in salvation. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18, the Apostle Paul, writing to these Christians, has already had a great deal to say about the ministry of the Holy Spirit in their lives. He has said in chapter 1 that they are sealed with the Holy Spirit, and also that the Holy Spirit opens their eyes to see the things that God has given them. He has said in the second chapter that by one Spirit they have access unto the Father. He has already spoken about the sealing, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in their lives. Now, if all that was necessary in our relationship to the Holy Spirit was simply His indwelling, then Paul would not have found it necessary to write the 18th verse of chapter 5. And if you feel this morning that all that is necessary in your relationship to the Holy Spirit is simply to have Him present in your life, then you need to read verse 18 of chapter 5. Because Paul, writing to these Christians about whom he has said so much concerning their relationship to the Holy Spirit, now gives them a command and says, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And so Paul was simply saying, now that the Spirit of God is indwelling you and has sealed you and has performed and is performing this ministry in your life, now I have a command, an admonition. Now it is imperative that you get rightly related to the Holy Spirit so He will be able, unhindered, to perform His ministry. Be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Now, the devil is trying to give the Holy Spirit a bad name. I had a young man in my church a year ago that during the summer went to a church in West Texas to serve as a youth director for the summer. When he arrived on the scene, the pastor said, now son, we don't want you saying anything this summer about the Spirit-filled life. And he asked him why. He said, well, we've had so much problem in this area with excess and extreme. We had so much problem with tongues that we don't want you saying anything about the Holy Spirit while you're here. Now, the tragedy of that statement is that that pastor has played right into the hands of the devil. You see, the reason there is so much confusion and misunderstanding and extreme and excess today is because we have not said anything about the Holy Spirit. We have remained silent, and the devil has rushed in to fill up that vacuum. Now, the way to defeat error is not silence, but it's a double-barrel blast of the truth. And the reason that you have excesses and extremes today, all of this excess is just the hunger pains of a spiritually starved people. You see, man is both physical and spiritual. He's unique. He's not an animal. He's a creation of God. He has the ability, the unique ability, to commune with the physical world and also commune with the spiritual world. God fashioned him out of the dust of the earth. He's physical. But then he breathed into him. He is spiritual. Therefore, man must have fellowship with the physical, and he must have fellowship with the spiritual. It would be just as impossible for a man to live without fellowship with the physical as it is for him to live without fellowship with the spiritual. And our churches too long have tried to minister to man along material and physical levels. And we have not met their spiritual needs, but man is a spiritual being. He must have spiritual experience. He must have contact with the supernatural. And if he's not going to experience the Holy Spirit, he will experience the unholy spirit. And if he cannot contact the supernatural within the church, he will contact the supernatural outside the church. He is a spiritual being. And the people of this world have asked for the bread of spiritual reality, and we have given them the stones of organization and program and planning and promotion, and so they've gone to other places to patch out their needs in their life. God knew what He was about when He spoke through the Apostle Paul and said, "Now that Holy Spirit who indwells you, allow Him to pervade your life." And instead of finding your fullness and your completeness in the world's ways by being drunk with wine is simply there a symbol of all that the world offers to fill a man up and to make his life complete and to give him a sense of fulfillment. And what God is saying is this: you don't need to go to the world or anything else to find your completeness and your fulfillment. Let the Holy Spirit of God fill you, and He will satisfy the longing of your heart. Is the Holy Spirit filling you right now? Is He filling you right now? Jesus was one of the most audacious men that ever lived. He made the most audacious and bold claims. And the amazing thing about Jesus Christ is He never hesitated nor flinched in making those claims. On one occasion in John chapter 7, He said, "If any man thirst, let him come to Me." Jesus said, "If you're thirsty, just come to Me. I can quench your thirst. I can satisfy your hunger. Whatever you need, I'm able to meet that. If any man thirst, let him come to Me. Let him drink. And he that believeth on Me, out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water." This He spake of the Holy Spirit. In other words, Jesus was saying, when the Holy Spirit has control of your life and is filling and overflowing the banks of your life, your thirst will be quenched. And you know, He doesn't identify what that thirst is. I'll tell you something this morning. You can be thirsty for anything, and if you let the Holy Spirit fill you, it'll satisfy that thirst. I'm thinking now of a businessman in my church who was thirsty for money. He was thirsty for money. And one day the Spirit of God got hold of him and he allowed the Holy Spirit to fill him. And you know what? The Holy Spirit quenched his thirst for money. I know of a young person, I'm thinking of a teenager right now, who at one time had an insatiable thirst for pleasure. But one day this teenager met Jesus Christ and His Lordship, and the Holy Spirit filled him. And you know what happened? The Holy Spirit quenched that thirst. Whatever your thirst is this morning, whatever it is that you're hungering and thirsting after, if you come to the Lord Jesus Christ and allow the Holy Spirit to fill you, you'll never thirst again. Now, what does it mean to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Three things revealed in this little phrase, "be filled with the Holy Spirit." Number one, the filling of the Holy Spirit is a command of God. It is a command of God. This is an imperative verb. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. In other words, Paul is not making a polite suggestion. He's not saying, you know, it sure would be nice if you would be filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, God doesn't make suggestions. He utters commands. And this is a command, and he says, be filled with the Holy Spirit. And this simply means that the filling of the Holy Spirit isn't a luxury item. It's not optional equipment in the Christian life. It is essential. It is an obligation upon every believer to allow the Holy Spirit to fill him. It's a command. It's a command. There are two commands in that verse, one negative, one positive. We have accentuated the negative and eliminated the positive. In our churches, we've said, don't be drunk with wine. That's a no-no. Shame if you're drunk with wine. And I'll tell you something, if a deacon of this church were to stumble in here Sunday morning, drunk with wine, soaked to the gills, you know what we would do? We would discipline him and kick him off the deacon board. And at the next meeting, we might brag about it. Brother, we have a church that is strict and follows the teachings of the Word of God, and we will not tolerate a deacon on our board who is drunk with wine. But I notice the second part of that verse says, be filled with the Spirit. Just as much a command, just as much an obligation. I wonder if you would have a deacon to walk down this church next Sunday morning that was not filled with the Holy Spirit. I wonder what you'd do then. When I read Acts chapter 6, when they selected the first men, one of the obligations, one of the prerequisites was that they be men full of the Holy Ghost. And it's not just the deacon, it's the preacher, it's the Sunday school teacher, it's the choir member, it's every believer, young or old, every believer. It is a command to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, I think for years I had the idea that the Holy Spirit was a reward that God would lay on us when we reached a certain plateau. And I used to know some people that were filled with the Spirit, and I said, man, wouldn't it be great to be like Billy Graham or somebody like that, one of those old dead saints like Charles Spurgeon and George Mueller. But I guess, you know, that's not for me. It's just like a Sears Roebuck catalog. I can't have everything there. I'll just take what I can afford. And God has honored a few, and they can be filled with the Holy Spirit. But this is a plural verb, and Paul is speaking to every member of the church. It's not a reward that God reserves for a favored few. It is a command that God gives to every person who comes to the Lord Jesus Christ. Be filled with the Spirit. It is a command. And if it is a command, then it simply means that if you are not at this moment being filled with the Holy Spirit, you are living in disobedience to God. Have you ever been convinced and convicted of the sin of not being filled with the Holy Spirit? But I have news for you this morning. If the Holy Spirit is not filling you right now, you're living in sin and in disobedience to God. You see, the reason, one reason is, there are many reasons, but one reason is that there are only two kinds of good. That's human good and divine good. And God rejects all human good. There are only two kinds of energy, the energy of the Spirit and the energy of the flesh. And you live your Christian life either in the energy of the flesh or under the endowment of the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says in Romans chapter 8 that they which are in the flesh cannot please God. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, it teaches that everything you and I do in the flesh constitutes wood, hay, and stubble on the day of judgment, and it will be burned up and will suffer loss. Paul says, the day shall declare, for every man's work shall be tried with fire. He has laid the foundation, and it's your responsibility and mine to build upon that foundation, which is Jesus Christ, a life of Christian living. And he says there are two kinds of materials that you can use in building up your life. One is wood, hay, and stubble. The other is silver, gold, and precious stone. Now, one day when you and I stand before the judgment seat of Christ, He's going to take all that we've done for Jesus, our life of service, and He's going to test it by fire. And if our works burn up, we shall be saved, but singed. We shall be saved, He says, yet so as by fire. It's like a man escaping from a burning house. He's alive, but he has the smell of smoke on him. If our works stand the test, we shall receive a reward. You know, I've often imagined what that's going to be like. Brother Tal and I stand up there, and we're waiting in line to appear before the Lord. and I'm looking for my stack of works, and oh yes, there it is over there. Man, it's a mountain. Whew. I can hardly wait to get up to the judgment bar and have the Lord read out my name and let everybody see what how much I've done. So I'm standing there. I said, Brother Powell, where's your stack? Oh, yeah, I said over there. Yeah, well, your name card almost hides it. It's such a small stack. Well, that's okay. At least you made it. You know, that's the important thing. At least you made it. You were saved. But that's okay. Whew, boy, I can hardly wait to get up there to have him reward mine. Just a mountain. But you know, I notice as I get closer and closer and closer, I become aware that that mountain of service and works that I have done is a mountain of wood, hay, and stubble. It's just one big haystack. I have preached, and I have witnessed, and I have served, and I have tithed, and I have sung, but I have done it all in the energy of the flesh without being filled with the Spirit of God. And the Lord Jesus Christ strikes the match and sets it to my works, and it is consumed, and all that's left are ashes. Brother Towles, stack is small, but it's silver and gold and precious stone. And it stands the test of fire. To me, one of the greatest tragedies of all human history is going to be when we discover that some of the churches we have built are nothing more than big haystacks. And that a man's entire ministry and a teacher's entire life of service and a deacon's entire life of faithfulness can go up in smoke. And everything he's done, he will suffer loss for it because he has done it in carnality. This is why God commands us be filled with the Holy Spirit. It is a command of God. Secondly, it is a command to be controlled. It is a command to be controlled. I like the way the New English Bible translates this verse because it is a middle verb. Let the Holy Spirit fill you. Let the Holy Spirit fill you. You see, we have the idea that God is reluctant to fill us and we have to beg God to fill us. But the only reluctance is on your part. The Holy Spirit wants, He yearns, He longs to fill us. And He says, allow the Holy Spirit to fill you. And this word fill means to be possessed completely. To be possessed completely. In other words, this indwelling Spirit that we have, allow Him to penetrate and dominate every area of our lives. The carnal Christian, the worldly Christian, and the spiritual Christian are alike in their possession. Both of them have the indwelling Spirit. The spiritual man doesn't have a thing that the carnal man does not have. The only difference is the carnal, the worldly, the defeated Christian is still dominated by the old nature, by the world. He has not yet allowed Jesus to become Lord in his life and allow the Holy Spirit to dominate him. The spiritual person is that one who has abdicated the throne of his life, who has given up his right to live his life his way, and has enthroned Jesus as Lord and has allowed the Holy Spirit to control his life. To be filled with the Spirit simply means to let the Holy Spirit control you. Control you. It has nothing to do with emotion. Now, there may be emotion. I'm not against emotion. Nothing in the Bible says anything against emotion. I'm against emotionalism, but not against emotion. There may be emotion, but emotion is not the filling of the Holy Spirit. It's not the feeling of the Holy Spirit. It's the filling of the Holy Spirit. I know some people, they just want the thrill of the fill. They want to feel goosebumps playing leapfrog up and down their spine. I've seen some come to be filled with the Holy Spirit and they get up and they start feeling of themselves. See how they're doing. And what they're after is to hear angel wings flapping in a heavenly chorus and to see visions and to walk around with, you know, that's not it. To be filled with the Holy Spirit means to allow the Holy Spirit to control you. You say, I want to be filled with the Spirit. Oh, you mean that you want to be controlled by someone who will not tolerate any selfishness on your part? Is that what you mean? Do you mean that you want to be controlled by a person who will not allow you to think of yourself above others? Is that what you mean? Because that's what it is. Do you mean that you want to be controlled by someone who will not tolerate any impurity in your life? Well, that's what it means. Or do you mean that you want to be controlled by someone who will not allow you to be disobedient to your parents? Oh, well. Do you mean that you want to be controlled by someone who will not allow you to lie, to exaggerate the truth? Do you mean that you want to be controlled by someone who will demand that you witness to Jesus and share Jesus with your friends? Is that what you mean? Because that's what the filling of the Holy Spirit is. The filling of the Holy Spirit is to make your life serviceable for Jesus and to make your life a Christ-like life in all of its facets and in all of its dimensions. And the evidence of being filled with the Holy Spirit is not a gift of the Spirit, but it is the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, meekness, goodness, self-control. To be controlled by the Holy Spirit. To be controlled by the Holy Spirit. Let me just very briefly say that what I believe this controlling involves. I believe it involves two things. Number one, I believe it involves, first of all, a choosing against yourself. F.B. Meyer, years ago, put it in a way that I don't think can be improved upon. He says, first of all, there must be a dethroning of self. You have to dethrone self. You see, in every heart, there is a cross and there's a throne. If Jesus is on the cross, you're on the throne. And if you're on the throne, Jesus is on the cross. But if Jesus is on the throne, you're on the cross, that means you have dethroned self. What does that mean? That simply means you choose against yourself. You give up your right to live your life your way. Did you know a believer doesn't have any personal rights? He doesn't. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, you are not your own. Therefore, glorify God in your body, which is His. You say, don't I have a right to do with as I please with that which is my own? Yes, but friend, your body is not your own. And a believer has no personal rights. You have only one option in life, and when you choose Jesus Christ to be your Savior and Lord, you exercise your only option. You say, I don't like that. Don't argue with me. That's the teaching of the Word of God. And if nobody told you that when you were saved, I apologize for them, but you know it now. And the Bible never gives any bargain basement days. And the believer, when he comes to Jesus Christ, comes to Him as Lord, as Master. He sells out lock, stock, and barrel. He is nothing more than a bond servant of Jesus Christ. And you cannot receive what Jesus gives unless you are willing to acknowledge who He is. And if you walk down the aisle of some church and say, I want to be saved and go to heaven when I die, but I'm not willing for Jesus to be Lord and Master in my life, then God will not save you. Jesus wants everyone, but He wants them on one condition, and that is submission to His Lordship. What is submission to His Lordship? Submission to His Lordship simply means that I take Jesus for all that I know Him to be at that time. And I give all that I know of myself to all that I know of Jesus. Now, I may not know much about Him, but I know what I do know about Him. I receive Him for all that I know Him to be. And you know that He wants to be Lord and Master in your life, and you must come not with one hand behind your back, your fingers crossed, your tongue in your cheek, and with reservations you must come saying, I abandon myself, I give up my right to live my life my way, and I enthrone Jesus as Lord, dethroning self and enthroning Jesus Christ as Lord. You know what the filling of the Holy Spirit? It's just the other side of the coin of Jesus being Lord. You see, when you allow Jesus Christ to really be Lord in your life, His first executive decision is to fill you with the Holy Spirit. It means to be controlled by the Spirit. Is He controlling you right now? Is He controlling you? Is He? Third, it is a command to be continually controlled. A command to be continually controlled. That is a present tense verb, and it can be rightly translated, be ye being filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm not talking this morning about an occasional high. I'm talking about an everyday, consistent, continual experience. Do you know that most Christians live from one experience to another? They live from one crisis to another. They live from one conference to another. They live from one revival to another. Listen, aren't you tired of lugging buckets of water from the wells of other men? You have a fountain in your own spirit, the Spirit of God. And if you ever learn to walk in the Spirit, you won't have to live from crisis to crisis or from experience to experience. The Bible has very little to say about a crisis experience. The Bible speaks about a walk, one step after another, one step after another. And God is not glorified by somebody coming and standing up and giving an account of a glowing experience. He is glorified by somebody who every day, in the dull, humdrum, monotonous affairs of life, walks in the Spirit, walks in Jesus Christ, one step after another, constancy in the Spirit of God. It is a command to be continually controlled. How can you be continually controlled? I believe there are two ways. First of all, by instant confession. By instant confession. The very moment you sin and you become aware of it, instantly confess it. Don't sweep it under the rug and wait till the next revival comes along. Instantly confess it. You see, to be filled with the Spirit is to be controlled by the Spirit. Now, somebody says, well, can you just be, half filled? No, all the way filled or empty. You see, you're either controlled or not controlled. I mean, he's either in charge or he's not in charge. It's not pouring water in a glass and the glass is half empty and three-fourths empty and three-fourths full. That's not the filling of the Holy Spirit. It means to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. Now, he's either controlling you or he isn't. And you can be filled right now and empty right in the next moment if you sin against God. But the Bible says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And that's good enough. But he throws in something else. He says, and he'll cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And so, you're driving your car and you come to that four-way stop and it's your turn to go and that lady over there goes before you. It's your turn to go. And so your old carnal nature says, blow your horn at her. Louder. And you realize immediately that you have grieved the Spirit because you've acted in an unchrist-like way and you just immediately confess that. And confession doesn't mean begging or anything. It just means to agree with God. God has said it's sin all along and you finally agree with him. You say, Lord, you're right. And when you agree with him, that's all he wants, is for you to agree with him. When you agree with him, he forgives you, and then he just cleanses you from all unrighteousness. Instant confession. Secondly, immediate obedience. Immediate obedience. When the Holy Spirit prompts you to pray, pray. When the Holy Spirit prompts you to witness, witness. When the Holy Spirit prompts you to read this book, read it. When the Holy Spirit prompts you to say a kind word to somebody, say it. Immediate obedience. You see, it's just a matter of really being available to the Lord. Just making yourself available to the Lord so that he can do anything he pleases with you. And don't get uptight about it. Don't go around wringing your hands worrying if you've done enough for Jesus today. That's a bondage. That's a yoke. And it used to bother me. I used to lie awake at night after a day and worry that maybe I hadn't done enough for the Lord. And maybe I'd had one of those busy, unspiritual days where I had to write a lot of letters, and do a lot of administrative stuff in the church, and I didn't get to really do any of those good spiritual things like witnessing and such as this. And I would lie awake and I worrying about maybe I had not done enough for the Lord. It used to really bother me. One day I was walking through the kitchen and I noticed the water faucet was looking a little bit sad and downcast, and I stopped and I said, water faucet? What's the matter? And the water faucet said, well, Master, I'm just sad because I failed you today. I said, water faucet, I don't understand. How have you failed me today? And the water faucet said, well, Master, I haven't turned on for you once. He said, I've seen you pass by two or three times and I wanted to wash your hands and I wanted to quench your thirst. And I'm sorry, Master. I just haven't washed your hands once today. I haven't quenched your thirst once today. I haven't done anything for you today. And I know I failed you. And I said, I tried to turn on a couple of times and I squeezed out a couple of drops, but it wasn't enough to mount anything. And I've just failed you. I know I haven't done enough for you today. I looked at that water faucet and I said, you dumb water faucet. I said, I've walked by you a dozen times today. I've known you were there. I said, if I had wanted you to turn on, I would have turned you on. If I had wanted you to wash my hands, I would have turned you on. If I had wanted you to quench my thirst, I would have turned you on. I don't want you turning yourself on. You just waste a lot of water. I want you turned on, I'll turn you on. I said, water faucet, I have passed by you a dozen times today, and I've seen you there available. And I have known that if I wanted to turn you on, all I had to do was touch you and you'd respond. I said, water faucet, I do not measure your faithfulness by how much you do, but I measure your faithfulness by how available you are. And I said, water faucet, you have been a pleasure to me today, and you have pleased and satisfied me, and you have been faithful because you've been available. And you know, I never worried about it after that. When I'd come to the end of the day and say, now, Lord, you know, I didn't do this and such and so, but Lord, you knew that I was available. You knew that I was available. You're Lord. I'm your servant. And I'm ready and available. Are you available this morning? Are you willing to come to the Lord Jesus Christ and say, Lord Jesus, I give up my right to live my life my way. And I enthrone you as Lord. Once and for all, I yield my body to you. And it's yours to do with as you please. If you want to send this body to Africa as a missionary, it's yours. If you want to send this body to college to study to be a lawyer, it's yours. If you want this body to go across the street and witness to the neighbor, it's yours. If you want to put this body in a hospital and inflict it with a disease that you might be glorified, it's yours. If you want to blind the eyes of this body, it's yours to do with as you please. If you want to take the life from this body and take me on right now to be in your presence, it's yours. If you never want this body to be married, it's yours. Whatever you want. If you want this body to be poor, it's yours. If you want it to be wealthy, it's yours. It's not mine. It's yours. To do with as you please. And when you come to the Lord Jesus Christ with that attitude, He steps to the throne of your life, and the first thing He does is to fill you with His Spirit. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, we trust the Word to accomplish the purpose that You intend. I pray that the Holy Spirit right now may give revelation and insight. Open our eyes to see this, not with our minds only, but with our hearts, our spirits. And help us, Father. Give us enabling grace today to submit to His Lordship and allow the Holy Spirit to totally and completely possess us. Because we ask it in His name. Amen.